This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Little is known about a 40-year-old Iraq war vet who drove into a Mormon church during morning prayers in Grand Blanc, Michigan, shot at least 9 people, and torched the building. As the attacker fled the scene, he engaged cops who killed him in a shootout. Former NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce.
It's a closed-end investigation as far as him. He's dead. But we don't know if there's anybody else who knew about this. So they'll go through his devices, his phone, his computer, any written notes, family and friends. All these things to paint a picture of this individual to see where this came from.
2 of his victims are dead. Another is critical. A tropical storm warning for the Bahamas for Imelda, a growing storm forecast to bend hard right offshore, not hit the U.S. Rough surf already impacting Florida beaches. A lot of wind and rain could batter the southeast this week. Democrats may lose another House seat with Missouri's governor signing a new map into law today. This is ABC News. Armed federal agents now patrolling Chicago's downtown. The immigration crackdown following President Trump's decision to send troops to Portland, Oregon. A chilling radio report from air traffic control this morning at Charlotte Douglas Airport.
There's a 777. We got a call. We got a call that there was a dead body inside the wheel well of that airplane.
An American Airlines flight from Europe, sound from Broadcastify. The man who polls say could be the next mayor of New York, Zoran Mondani, socialist, on today's announcement that Mayor Eric Adams is dropping out of November's election.
I think the race continues to be the same as it was, where it's a race between us and the failed politics that we've seen, whether it's Andrew Cuomo or Eric Adams.
Dolly Parton is having health issues, serious enough to postpone her December shows in Las Vegas. Dolly saying doctors tell her that she must have a few procedures. She didn't say what, but jokes that it's not the usual trip to see my plastic surgeon. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Nair on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The Packers on Sunday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Dallas, where the Packers are playing the Cowboys tonight. Green Bay began the season with convincing wins over the Lions and Commanders, but lost last week in Cleveland to a Browns team that hadn't won a game since last November. I spoke to Packers tight end Tucker Kraft about the start of their season so far.
You know, we did great week one, week two, coming out, trying to put points on the board. We just got to stick to that. It doesn't matter if we're home or away. We're going to come out on the first drive and try to get points on the board. That is just the demand of our offense. The defense needs us to play like that so we can play complementary to them. They hold the team to 13 points in the fourth quarter. It was 10-0 up until the fourth quarter. That's remarkable. Not a lot of defenses are doing that. We have the best defense in the NFL, so we just have to help them out.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Clear tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunny and above normal for Monday, highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, 56 Monday night. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high around 82. Upper 70s on Wednesday, partly sunny skies. Sunny and 80 Thursday.
It's 76 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matinair on Air.
We are delighted to be joined by the executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly is here.
We account for about 67% of the country's cranberries. And then Wisconsin itself, because the cranberry originated here, makes a product that is really good for the environment. And as we're finding out more and more, it's really good for you. Boy, I sound like a commercial.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream, and all the recombobulators on the live stream. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
I am here. Always wonderful to join you here on Matinair on Air. And see you all here in person.
I know.
It's, in studio.
It's alive.
At Radio Park and Racine.
Yes. It's really been nice having you come into studio. Having people come into studio, period, is wonderful.
Yeah.
Because far less technical hiccups can happen.
But that's also very true.
I feel like the energy is always better when you just have everyone vibing like jazz. It's like the stories we don't talk about. That's what you got to talk about.
Sure, Greg.
Okay. Whatever. Yes, fine.
I had coffee.
Let's talk about the recombobulation area. Let's talk about Tom Tiffany.
We'll talk about Tom Tiffany. We'll talk about a really wild week in the Republican primary for governor. There's a lot to get into there. But I think the headline of the week in Wisconsin politics is that Tom Tiffany, the 7th District congressman, has made it official. He is running for governor.
Which isn't a surprise.
Not a surprise. He's been out shaking hands at state fair and all over the place.
So,
can I ask a question, though, about timeline? If I'm not mistaken, wasn't there supposed to be an announcement? Like, there was a big thing about Wednesday, but he announced on Tuesday.
So they had an event Wednesday. He had an event in Wausau at this facility or whatever. But like he broke the news on Tuesday afternoon on the Dan O'Connell show.
All right. Yeah. All right, gotcha. Okay. Man, I wish we could have gotten that exclusive.
Next time.
And you feel that he's going to be the front runner.
I do. I think
he's got the name recognition.
Well, I think he walks into this race as the front runner for a couple of reasons, and I do think he is going to be the eventual Republican nominee for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field, I think, really.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't gotten Trump's endorsement yet. But
yes.
He will.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
Trump endorsed Weed endorsed Tiffany.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Sad 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon aside here. Tom Tiffany, I think part of it, too, is just the fact that this is a pretty lackluster field for the Republicans. Yeah. And I think, we talked about it back when I had my column about Tony Evers. I think the Democratic bench is a strong one. I think there are a lot of good candidates who have already announced, many who are considering announcing, whatever. But I think on the Republican side, like, there's not a strong candidate who has put themselves forward. Josh Shulman was the first out of the gate. He announced in May. I think it's significant that he has not picked up a single endorsement from anyone in the state legislature, any significant Republican names. Like, you know, Tiffany announces this week he gets the endorsement of the College Republicans.
Right
away.
He gets
the endorsement from Tony Weed. Like, at least there's something, mm-hmm. you know, I know how these campaigns work. They want to play up the endorsement, make it a story, do it all of those different kinds of things. You know, Shulman's been on the road for almost 6 months now, campaigning in this, and he hasn't picked up any significant endorsements at all. So young guy, working hard, whatever. I don't think he has a particularly strong record to run on. He hasn't picked up a lot of support. I think there's a reason people were looking for somebody else to announce.
And I think also they don't write about him unless they're writing about the whole field and the whole race. He's not done anything that's really brought the news to him.
Right. He hasn't put out some sort of like bold agenda for Wisconsin or anything like that. Yeah. He's just like, hey, I'm a younger guy and have had this job in Washington County and here I am.
I know. Good for him.
Like, you know, putting your head into the ring and running in a statewide race takes a lot. But, you know, he hasn't really picked up steam. He got his name out there, is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be the nominee.
Yeah. Todd Albaugh had a chance to talk to him when he was traveling around the state. And Todd, at least from his perspective, thought that he was a pretty strong candidate.
Yeah.
But again, he lacks the name recognition. He doesn't have much of a record to run on. Although that brings me to my question. What is Tiffany's fabulous record that he's going to run on? That he stood next to the Blotnick Bridge with the infrastructure repair bill that was passed by Joe Biden that he didn't vote for? What does he have to come forward and say, look what I did for you, Wisconsin?
He likes Trump. Done.
That's all he needs. Yep.
He's a strong Trump ally. You know, he's been elected as a congressman 3 times. He was in the state Senate for a while before that, assembly briefly before that. So he has, you know, strong ties to state government. He understands how the process works.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. He should have a record of accomplishments.
Exactly. Well, and I think, you know, I mentioned this when I was talking with Todd yesterday as well. He authored a bill that was, kind of like stripping some environmental regulations when they were talking about putting a mine in northern Wisconsin. He was one of the, the lead legislators behind some of that, those efforts. I think there are a number of things on education in Wisconsin from the Walker era that he was, you know, very much a part of that will be scrutinized. He went further than any Wisconsin congressman did in 2020 to try to overturn the election results.
Right.
Like Tiffany's case to be governor, it is not a crossover appeal candidate, right?
Yeah.
It is not a moderate bring people together to the center. It is an activate the base. It is the play to try to get as many people who voted for Donald Trump in 2024 to come out and vote for Tom Tiffany in 2026. That's the play for him, because I also think there's like this whole, you know, geographic shift occurring if he were to be the nominee too, because the stronghold in Wisconsin for Republicans for so long was the Wild Counties. The three, you know, deep red counties around Milwaukee that have becoming much more purple over the last decade. And I think it is interesting to think about how, you know, okay, Josh Shulman coming from Washington County. We've had other, Brad Schimmel was from Waukesha County. We've had a lot of Scott Walker from that area too. And so I think we've had a lot of Republicans from that area who have lost. And I think this is a sign that the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin is moving away from the suburbs and is becoming a more of a rural,
exurban,
Northwoods party.
If you're just joining us, I'm Matt and Aaron on Air. We're speaking to Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Mr. Dan Schaefer. And we're talking about his newest article in the Recombobulation Area, talking about the candidacy of one Tom Tiffany, who is running for governor of Wisconsin as a GOP candidate in 2026. And there's two things for me. If I'm a campaigner, if I'm on the left, I'm going to simply say, whether he was in the state house or Capitol Hill, Tom Tiffany has never had Wisconsin in mind. For his voting record shows that. But also the question I have is, you know, he's trying to push the narrative now, like he's on farm gear, he's next to cows, he's using.
I know how to shovel a barn.
He's using manure puns to point out the badness of everybody else. I didn't
mind that actually.
But the thing is like, you know, yes. Wisconsin voted for Trump in 2024 and 2016. He lost in 2020. And but the two most major races in Wisconsin, both for state's Supreme Court, showed a different Wisconsin on the face.
Yeah.
Like it really, like it was a definite switch. And the thing is, it'd be one thing if it was Trump and then nothing but blue. But it was Trump blue, Trump blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, will Wisconsin stand up the same way they did in this year or in 2022? Or will it be 2016 and 2020 or 2024? Because I feel like when it's a Wisconsin state race, the minds are different there. Mm-hmm. There's a different consideration to the candidate themselves. And I feel like Tom Tiffany, because he doesn't have a ton of charisma, in my opinion, and he doesn't come with a lot of record, he's going to have to push the Trump narrative. Mm-hmm. And that may push people away.
Well, again, if economically things continue the way they are, tying yourself to Trump may not be the big win that everybody thinks it is.
It may not be. And, you know, he was a vote in favor of the, you know, one big, beautiful bill.
Of course he was.
Slashed the safety net in this country in many ways while increasing spending. Don't get a lot of bills that do both of those things. And also, I think it is really interesting that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin already put out an attack ad on Tiffany. And the focus of that attack ad was the issue of tariffs. There's a lot of different things you could go at Tom Tiffany on. You could go on abortion rights. You could go on various different economic issues, mm-hmm. what have you. They went with tariffs. And I think that's interesting. And I think tariffs is going to be, I think we're going to see a lot of different candidates have that focus in the midterms, because I think, you know, that is one of those things that people looked to Trump as, you know, okay, let's go back to the, you know, pre-2020, before inflation, before this, we'll get costs down, whatever.
Day one.
The tariffs have not done that. They have not made prices go down in any way. Prices are continuing to go mm-hmm. up. Tariffs are hurting our economy in Wisconsin. You guys talked about it earlier in the show with soybeans and the issue with farmers there. Actually, Rebecca Cook put out a press release saying that soybeans should be exempted from tariffs, which I thought was pretty interesting this week. But I think the fact that they have focused on tariffs as the issue, and Marquette University did some polling earlier this year on tariffs in Wisconsin. Only about 30% of Wisconsin voters say that tariffs help the economy. And so I think you're going to see this be an issue in the midterms for Democrats saying, like, the tariffs are bad for the economy. It's a pretty simple case to be made. Like, we can all see what's happening in front of us right now. I'm glad it did some kitchen remodeling before this happened.
Got the bathroom done. Yeah.
I think that is going to be, and I saw some of the, you know, outside special interest groups like do lists of like, these are the things that are wrong with Tom Tiffany. Tariffs was near the top of the list for that too. And I think tariffs is going to emerge as a major attack ad spot for Wisconsin Democrats in the midterms.
I would also just like to remind folks that Tom Tiffany, when they talked about turning the Apostle Islands into a national park,
mm-hmm.
that's because he wants to mine one of the islands.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's not because he's such an environmentalist. It's not, that has nothing right. to do with that. It's about, yeah, let's strip mine it. Come on.
Well, I want to ask you both
there's a text I want to share.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Jake in Madison listening on WXCO. Why be high minded? Tom Tiffany is a complete moron who has a load of tape of being a fool on Capitol Hill, along with voting for every Walker policy that people hated.
Yeah.
And yes, no Senate or governor race on the ballot is a big negative for the Wisconsin Republicans. Fox will ignore the governor's race. Thanks, Jake, for checking in.
And that's the question. Another Wisconsin state politics question I want to ask both of you. I feel, and I think it's safe to say, that in 2024, during the presidential election, Democrats failed to really grasp the economy as an issue that was applicable
Absolutely.
To the people. I did as well. I was trying to push this grander idea when I wasn't talking about kitchen table politics, and that was my failure. Is this a chance for Wisconsin, Devin Remicker, and the Wisconsin Democratic Party to, in putting out a statement about tariffs, that's very, mm-hmm. very intentional. Is this their chance to finally try to craft a message that talks about the economy that's A, very truthful, B, not mind-numbingly boring through explanation and detail,
right.
and C, appetizing to the voter, all stripes?
I think you're onto something there.
Okay.
And I think that there's opportunity to strike a real economic message right now.
Yeah.
And it there's things tied to the bill, you know, the big ugly bill. There's things tied to tariffs. There's things tied to all sorts of, you could call it, corrupt activity happening in the White House.
It's corruption. It's corruption palooza. Come on.
Allegedly.
Festival of corruption.
You know, the scene from the inauguration with all the tech billionaire CEOs there with Trump as well. Like, there is an economic case to be made, an economic populism type of case to be made that I think we can and should see In the months ahead.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, Recombobulation Area author, Civic Media's political editor. Join the conversation at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE. The Todd Albaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways. Yeah. Find some common ground and then expand on that. And then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. If we can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Ahoy, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. If you or someone you love is struggling, you are not alone. September is National Suicide Prevention Month. Call or text 988 anytime to connect with the Crisis Lifeline. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Buck, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath and lighten things up and get away from the news.
We clean your ears with fun.
Thank you. Today's Audio Sorbet, since doors open in Milwaukee, is happening tomorrow, which is a great event.
Love it.
If you have never taken part, you should. And we're going to include the link in our show notes. Mm-hmm. But it's an opportunity if you live in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee area, to get into buildings that normally you can't get into.
If you're not skilled enough.
So our audio sorbet question is, if you could get into any building in the country, what building would it be?
In the country? And
in the country.
In the country.
And I'm going to say, like, we're going to, like, don't say Fort Knox. Let's.
Hey, you can say Fort Knox.
Well, okay, fine. I just.
If
I feel
that's
like
your thing.
There's. But then I feel like you put your tin hat on and you'd be like, I gotta find all the gold.
The CIA vault in Langley, so I can drop down like Mission Impossible.
Oh. Area 51.
There we go.
Where, if you had the opportunity to get in any building in the United States, what building would it be? Mm-hmm. That's our question for Audio Sorbet coming up after the 10:30 news.
And I'd love to see the people on the live stream. Let us know. When Dan's here, and thank you, Dan. Dan always gives us the Schaefer bump. We see a lot of people watching, and we appreciate you.
A lot of people join on the stream.
But I
want to
hear from you. Where would you go if you could get in a building anywhere in the United States, the world? Heck, if you think there's buildings on Mars. I want to hear from them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So join us after 10:30 for Audio Sorbet. And then we end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Mayonnaising edition. Stay tuned for that. Before the break, we were talking about Tom Tiffany and the Republicans who are running for governor here in Wisconsin. We don't have a lot of time left. We didn't mention Bill Berrien at all.
We got to mention Bill Berrien a little bit here. He's had a tough week,
it's
Mr.
not
Berrien.
Been a smooth week.
Not has been a great week. So the headline early in the week was GOP Gov candidate Bill Berrien scrubs links to sexually explicit social media accounts.
A whole bunch of them.
Sounds like he had an account on Medium. He was following a number of people, including a transgender porn star who we decided during the break. I cannot say their name on the air.
I prefer that you didn't.
And then the follow-up story in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Dan Bice. Trans porn star rips GOP governor candidate Bill Berrien for, quote, hypocrisy over X-rated web links.
Well, again, just to put this into context, yes. Bill Berrien is a family values guy.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. He made anti-trans positioning crucial to his message running for governor. He put that in his first campaign ad.
So was he following these accounts so he could become educated?
Doesn't seem that way.
No. I'm trying to help out here.
You know what? What he does in his own time is his own business.
That's true.
You know what? That's a very... Okay. Go on. Yeah. Okay.
I will say what he does on his own time is his own business and is not. But when he is making a core message from his campaign that he is a family values Republican, yep, and he is staking out these explicitly anti-trans positions, that becomes a problem. Then he is a hypocrite. Then he is deriding something that, you know, I don't even want to get into whatever the rest with it. But I think, you know, for one, not going to help him in a Republican primary.
No,
I don't think at all.
Although the apologizing on his behalf on the right is pretty astonishing.
Oh, yeah.
It really is pretty amazing. I follow some accounts on Twitter that are very far right, and they're like, I don't care who he follows in his personal time. If this were a Democratic candidate, it would be an entirely different matter. An entirely different matter.
I know which account you're talking about, and the words were, I will not contribute to the destruction of a person, but yet they have no problem contributing to the destruction of Dan Bice, the author of this article talking about the hypocrisy. And you're right. That's what I was going to say, Dan. You said it perfectly. And there's no version of the GOP in this universe. I believe in the multiverse, but not in this universe. Does there exist a GOP that could just relax it a little bit, like, look, do what you want.
Live in your personal time.
Exactly. You can't. It would make it so much easier for them because we're always seeing them get caught red-handed. And I'm not even talking about the criminal aspect of it all when they're getting busted for horrific crimes. I'm talking about stuff like this. Like, dude, yeah, you like some stuff that's a little spicier. Go live your life. But when you make it your platform that it's the devil, mm-hmm, you can't. Sorry, you're not brand loyal now.
Well, and it's tough when it seems like the Republican Party can't stop inserting themselves into our personal lives, which is what they want to legislate.
And they always talk about we need to keep government out of people's lives. And then in every social and cultural issue, they have to get into the mm-hmm mix on everything instead of just letting people live their lives. My goodness.
Yes.
Just let people be.
Yeah. If you don't want to do that, no one's making you.
No.
Yeah. No one's making you.
It's so much easier. I will say this from personal experience. It's so much more stress-free when I don't have to not only worry about other people's behavior, but also worry about telling them that their behavior is wrong.
Or policing their behavior, right?
I feel like I sleep way better not having to worry about the decisions of adults.
So, but from a political standpoint, one last point to make here before the break. There was a story out yesterday from WBAY with the headline, Governor Candidate Bill Berrien Cancels GOP Event Appearance in Manitowoc. Yep. And I will read one passage from that story. The county, so a few minutes before, they basically announced to the room that Berrien would not be showing up. And then the story says, the county chair then made the announcement to the crowd inside the shelter, and some people applauded.
That he didn't show up?
That he didn't show up.
That's not a good sign.
Tough scene.
Yeah, that's
tough
not,
scene.
That's not so good.
I don't think Bill Berrien's campaign is lasting much longer.
We have news coming up next. By the way, a shout out to Romeo16 on the live stream from Toronto.
Hey, bud.
Thank you for listening in Toronto, Romeo. News coming up next and then audio sorbet. What building in the country, if you could get inside, would you take advantage of it? Where would you go? That's all on the way. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. On the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up in Toronto on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Little is known about a 40-year-old Iraq war vet who drove into a Mormon church during morning prayers in Grand Blanc, Michigan, shot at least 9 people, and torched the building. As the attacker fled the scene, he engaged cops, who killed him in a shootout. Former NYPD Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce.
It's a closed-end investigation as far as him. He's dead. But we don't know if there's anybody else who knew about this. So they'll go through his devices, his phone, his computer, any written notes, family and friends. All these things that paint a picture of this individual to see where this came from.
Two of his victims are dead. Another is critical. A tropical storm warning for the Bahamas for Imelda, a growing storm forecast to bend hard right offshore, not hit the U.S. Rough surf already impacting Florida beaches. A lot of wind and rain could batter the southeast this week. Democrats may lose another House seat with Missouri's governor signing a new map into law today. This is ABC News.
The Packers on Sunday Night Football. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Dallas, where the Packers are playing the Cowboys tonight. Green Bay began the season with convincing wins over the Lions and Commanders, but lost last week in Cleveland to a Browns team that hadn't won a game since last November. I spoke to Packers tight end Tucker Kraft about the start of their season so far.
You know, we did great week one, week two, coming out, trying to put points on the board. We just got to stick to that. It doesn't matter if we're home or away. We're going to come out on the first drive and try to get points on the board. That is just the demand of our offense. The defense needs us to play like that so we can play complementary to them. They hold the team to 13 points in the fourth quarter. It was 10-0 up until the fourth quarter. That's remarkable. Not a lot of defenses are doing that. We have the best defense in the NFL, so we just have to help them out.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The president has tons of critics in or out of the entertainment business, but none have been as harsh as Bruce Springsteen. The boss has written about blue-collar America for most of his career and professed his love for his country in a recent interview with Time magazine. Springsteen hit the president pretty hard during his tour last spring. The boss does not seem intimidated, even though the president has him by 3 years, about 150 pounds, and is beating him in bankruptcies, 6-0. Not to mention he is also leading when it comes to telling someone not to certify election results. Be that as it may, the boss has a lot more kick-butt tunes. All the president could come up with in response to Springsteen's harsh criticism was, "He's dumb as a rock." This from the guy who can't pronounce acetaminophen. In the interview with Time, Springsteen probably realized he couldn't match wits and just said he couldn't care less what the president thinks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Clear tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunny and above normal for Monday, highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, 56 Monday night. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high around 82. Upper 70s on Wednesday, partly sunny skies. Sunny and 80 Thursday.
Currently, 75 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian Mike Lucas and director, producer, and founder of Wisconsinology.com, Frank Anderson. Thank God it's Monday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one and only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers in action later on today. Greg Bach will be there.
Come say hi. I'm the guy who looks like me.
Brewers hosting Cincinnati. Our broadcast starts at 6:35. You cannot listen to the game on the stream. You have to listen on terrestrial radio, but catch the game on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, WBZH in beautiful Hayward.
Hi, Mark Lundin.
Hello, Mark. 6:35, our broadcast starts tonight as the Brewers host Cincinnati, so check that out a little bit later on. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to take a breath, get away from the news, and just relax for a little bit, have some laughs.
Audio Sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
We're going to have a new open for that, an official open.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anyone who can do it better, though.
I think you do a great job.
Okay.
It's great. You've come up with an accent that is completely indecipherable. I love it. It's great.
Yeah. It's,
we'll put a little reverb on it.
It's, East Coast-ish.
Yes. That's a good way to describe it. So our topic today for Audio Sorbet, tomorrow in Milwaukee, and I highly encourage you to check it out if you have never done so. It's called Doors Open Milwaukee. And it is an opportunity for folks to get inside buildings that normally are off limits to the public. Hmm. It's really a really cool event.
It really is. They started doing this maybe 15 years ago that they've been doing this in Milwaukee.
Yep.
It's really fun. It's a good family experience, too, because you can bring the kids and go to these old buildings and kind of wander around and explore a little bit.
Well, you get in you can get backstage in some places.
That's right. Yeah.
In the basements of some places.
It's very cool.
It is.
It's
cool.
Really fun. There's a huge long list of places that you can explore there if you go to the Doors Open Milwaukee website. I was just pulling it up here during the break. There are 165 different places on the list here for the Doors Open list for places you can check out. So really a wonderful event all the way around.
And I just think it's a great way to appreciate what's in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, there are some of the greatest architecture in the country.
We really do. Yep. Some really phenomenal buildings. And it's, go check them out.
So we will include the link to that article in our show notes. So if you want to check out Doors Open Milwaukee tomorrow, then that will include the whole list of places that you can get into. Some of them I think you had to sign up for already. But again, lots of places you can get in for free tomorrow. So check that out.
And Sunday.
Yep. And Sunday
as well. Yep.
So that led us to our Audio Sorbet question for today. If you could get into any building in the country, what building would it be? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brett from Brown Deer texted in way early because he wanted to get in on this. If I could get into any building, I would pick Bill Murray's house.
Boy, that felt very invasive all of a sudden.
I'm here. It's wide open. Why not?
Honestly, he kind of seems like a the type of individual who, if they said, I'd love to see your house, he'd be like, come over today at noon.
Yeah.
He would or wouldn't. Like, there's no, like, I could see him doing, he's done really quirky things.
And quirky nice things and kind of quirky crabby things.
Oh, yeah, he's a weirdo.
He seems really grouchy.
He's a weirdo. He's a pure weirdo. And people, there was that time, like, I was feel like the teens, the 20 teens, there was just a little too much Bill Murray worshiping happening.
There was the after that Zombieland
That was great.
Cameo.
Oh,
I think that was
wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. He would have to not be home because I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be like, can you not follow me?
Well, yeah. Can you get out of your house so I can go peek around your house?
A different approach here for the Doors Open Milwaukee question for that one. Just like, which is my favorite celebrity and I'm going to their house.
And I want to snoop in their house. Why not? It's wide open. If you could get into any building in the country, a Doors Open U.S.,
yeah.
What would the building be? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. John from West Bend texting in, listening on WAUK. I would get into the Hall of Records at Mount Rushmore.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
That's cool.
I didn't know there was such a thing at Mount Rushmore.
That's fascinating.
It is.
I like that answer.
Ronnie,
that's a good one.
Ronnie from Horicon says, I would like to get into this torch on the Statue of Liberty, which has been closed for 100 years.
Wow, that's a cool idea, too. I went to the Statue of Liberty last year. I didn't go up, though. I was there. I went to New York with my wife to celebrate our anniversary last year. And we went there. I'm not great with heights, so I didn't do the walk up with the Statue of Liberty.
She's pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it's like in an elevator and I'm enclosed and like all of that, I'm fine. But the open air stuff, no, thank you.
Oh, tell me. Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I used to be fine with heights. I used to jump out of planes. Can't do that anymore.
Used to jump out of planes?
Yeah. I went skydiving three times.
It's great.
That's awesome.
It's really fun. You should do it. It's fun.
No, thank you. My wife has asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was just like, absolutely not. Why would I? I'm not great with heights to begin with. Why are you throwing me out of a plane?
You want to push me out of a plane? What are you telling me, honey?
The first time I went, I called my mom afterwards and said, hey, I just skydived for the first time and I have a DVD. I'll bring it over. She goes, thank you for telling me after. But yeah, also really quick side note, and we'll get right back on track. You and your wife do the best trips. When you talk about the trips that you and your wife take, you do vacationing correctly.
You do it the right way.
Yeah, we love to travel.
I think that's important. And especially with two kids, I think a lot of parents will be like, we'll do it later. And no, I like what I like.
We get after it with traveling.
There you go.
Good for you.
Sure.
Yeah. If you could get into any building in the United States, Doors Open U.S., where would it be? 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Where would be your place?
Oh, I'd try Fort Knox.
There it is.
Just to see if there's any gold in there still or not.
Just go take a look around. Maybe take a couple sheets of $100 bills.
Well, just to find out if it hasn't been rampaged already.
Who got away with all our gold?
I feel like Calvin, I should have asked you for the X-Files theme song for this one.
Appreciate it, Ollie. Thank you. 855-752-4842. Doors Open U.S. Mm-hmm. Any building in the U.S., if you could get inside it, where would it be?
Yeah.
Greg Bach?
Can I do two?
Sure.
Okay. First local, and this is going to be no surprise to anybody. It'd be the ballpark, the Brewers Stadium. I would love to run around. I mean, they do tours and they're great, but I would love to run around there for like, you need a full day. You're like, all right, morning, we're starting the basement. We're working our way up and just run around the bases.
It's a big facility.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Just see all the memorabilia that's in the offices that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
And maybe sit at Mark Antanasio's desk and make a phone call saying, I'm selling the Brewers. And, you know.
Sell.
But the other one would be, and this also is no surprise and pretty basic if you know me, is I would love unfettered access to the Grand Ole Opry.
Ooh. Oh, that's the Greg, the most Greg possible answer
well,
there.
Well, you're a big music fan.
I am. And I went there. I did their tour. It is absolutely amazing that you get a lot of access too for that building. But I would also just like to see, I would like to sit in the dressing rooms. You can see them, but you can't go in them. I would stand on that stage and
just soak up the vibes.
Yep. And I would go there with unfettered access. Absolutely. The Opry.
855-752-4842. Our question today for Audio Sorbet. If you could get into any building in the U.S., which one would you pick? This kind of is a companion along with Doors Open Milwaukee, which is happening tomorrow. You should go. It's fabulous. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK, says, I would like to get inside the UN Secretariat building in New York City.
Can I tell want to see if the elevators work? Is that the
escalator?
Escalator.
Be careful on those escalators.
I was so close
they're
to landing
deadly.
A good joke.
They're deadly.
Can I give you a little, give you a little fun fact about Greg?
Sure.
In 2007, I did a month-long seminar through UW-Milwaukee, go Panthers, where I had a quote-unquote a job at the UN with all my classmates, and we went there 5 days a week, and we met with various leaders, whether they were ambassadors, the high-up assistants, and I had a badge that got me into the building like an employee, and one of those rooms I could go into, I got to go to Security Council meetings.
Wow.
And
I will say this. You know me, you know I love process, and I love a good law show, but it's incredibly boring because everything's done in the rooms outside of that big room. Yeah. All the deals are made. So when they're coming out, they're really just voting
on
these
things. It's already a done deal. Yeah.
But when you do it for the first time and they're voting on a package of aid bills to help Sierra Leone at the time because they were being ravaged by the warlords. Even though it was just about voting yes and that was it, it was still one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
I believe
to
walk.
And that actually goes back to what I said before about Jesse Waters. It makes me even more angry because I met those people. And it's bureaucracy of a global scale, but those individuals love what they do. And it was so much fun.
855-752-4842. Doors Open US. If you can get inside any building across the country, where would it be? Dan Schaefer.
I don't have a good answer for this, to be honest with you. I can't, like, off the top of my head. My brain is going to conspiracy theory stuff. Because I want to get, like, you mentioned, like, Area 51 or Fort Knox or, like, all these different stuff. I just want to know the real thing. You know, get the real White House tour or whatever else, like, that kind of stuff. But can I share one Milwaukee-related Doors Open kind
Absolutely.
Of adjacent story? Mm-hmm. So the Pabst Theater is one of the places that's usually on there. It's not on the list this year, so they must have shows this weekend going on. But at the Pabst Theater, I did this story about this guy who was the caretaker of the Pabst Theater for 40 years. I did this story when I was at Milwaukee Magazine. And so I got to go along with him and I got to go above the chandelier in the Pabst Theater and walk. There are like these weird planks above it.
The catwalks.
The catwalks up there and he is up there all the time, like making sure things, and they do this thing once a year where they lower the chandelier and clean it.
Yep.
And they usually invite media in to do this whole thing. So it was like around that time. So I got to go above the chandelier in the Pabst Theater.
That's pretty cool.
So that was pretty cool. So like, if there are those types of things in, you know, famous historic buildings around the country to get really, really behind the scenes with like someone expert guide, you know, to take you along with it, that would be super cool.
Calvin, what would yours be?
I didn't think I had a good idea, but for whatever reason, Brett's Bill Murray's house kind of sparked in me something adjacent to that sort of. It's not really a property, or it's not really a building. It's more of a property with multiple buildings, but Skywalker Ranch in California.
Ooh,
that's a good
pretty
one.
Good.
I think that would be
that's
pretty
the George,
cool.
George Lucas.
Yeah, George Lucas's movie production property.
There might be people who don't
There's
know
not
that.
There's another Skywalker Ranch.
There might be people who don't know that's
okay,
George
Okay, fine.
Lucas.
They had a life. Fine. They didn't. Did you know that Skywalker Ranch has its own fire department? I know that because I have a Skywalker Ranch fire department patch, and it's like a regular fire department patch, but with the Millennium Falcon on it.
Listen to how excited
I have done so few things in my life.
Anybody else want to get in before we go to break? 855-752-4842.
Did you say one?
I didn't. Mine is very specific to me. One of my first jobs during high school, I worked at the gift shop at Holy Hill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Outside of Hartford, outside of Erin in southeastern Wisconsin. I worked at the gift shop at Holy Hill, and I was convinced even then that there are secret passageways in that building. I would want to get in to Holy Hill.
Yeah.
And take a torch.
Doors open, Holy Hill.
Yes. I think there's secret. I have no basis for this.
Should we contact them? Should we try to get a behind the scenes tour for Jane?
Let's do it.
Let's put an email.
If anyone is listening who is involved with Holy Hill,
I'm sure they're listening. Yeah. Let
Why
us
do you
know.
Want to come here? We think there are ghosts.
All right. We're going to wrap it up when we return with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Mayonnaising Edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
on the building too.
Well, I'm working on a building.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about four or five of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest today. And all next week, and coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman, he will have the next keyword for you. You have to enter it using the Civic Media app. So if you don't have it yet, go to your app store, look for Civic Media, download that. It is absolutely free. And then be ready for that keyword in the 11 o'clock hour, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock with Todd, 5 o'clock with Maggie, 7 o'clock tonight with Pete Schwabba on Nightlight. All kinds of chances to win our daily prize, $200 in cash, gold jewelry, and then the grand prize, those great indoor seats to see Green Bay and Minnesota, November 23rd at noon. So download the Civic Media app and get ready.
That's going to be a fun game to watch. And also,
right before Thanksgiving, what a great time to be there.
Just also a thing, too, because I saw this coming through on the text line last night and this morning. If you're hearing a show after Pete Schwabe, those are repeats. You can't enter on repeats.
Yeah,
so
no,
just so you're aware, you cannot enter the contest on repeat episodes. And know this, once Pete's show is done, the contest is done for the day. We'll be back with Pat the next morning or on Monday morning. But yeah, repeats, you cannot enter on repeats.
Just so you know.
Yep.
Coming up next week on Monday, Civic Media's news director, Shelly Pittman, will join us to give us a recap of the weekend news. And then our friend David Drake is going to be here. We had a little signal cross earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. David Drake from UW-Madison is going to join us to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin ducks.
Yeah.
And what that means.
Yeah.
So I hope you can join us coming up on Monday. Calvin, it is just about 10:55. It's getting late. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the Toronto Sun, Danette Wilford, with the byline. Headline reads, Hellman's offers to save Spanish cafe after alleged arson over mayonnaise.
Wait, this was in Canada?
The Toronto Sun reported it happened in Spain.
Oh, my God.
A cafe owner in Spain is getting its business back on track, thank you to Hellman's Mayonnaise, after a disgruntled mayonnaise-demanding customer allegedly started a fire. Cafeteria La Postas in Seville.
Oh, she got the...
You like that? Took to Instagram to share their news. This afternoon, we suffered an attack in which a customer who was coming to our cafe asked us for a couple of packets of mayonnaise. They told him they didn't have any, so he quietly left. That was not the end. He stopped at a gas station right down the road, filled up a gas can, came back to the cafe, demanded mayonnaise. When told, no mayonnaise, no ketchup, he doused the counter and set it ablaze. That seems a little extreme.
I need to know more about this man's totally bad day.
Right?
Because I don't know I need to know what happens. Like, this needs to be followed up on, because you ask for condiments. They say no.
We don't have them.
You say, oh, well, thank you very much. I'll have a wonderful day. You press the door, the little bell dings, and you go on with your day. You're like reading your book or listening to the music. And then he comes back and asks again, and you're like, still don't have them.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, there must be punishment then. And look, I'm not saying every other country in the world is brand spanking amazing, but this does not feel like a Spain story. This feels like a Florida story.
It really does. No, this happens all over the world, Greg.
It happened in Florida, Spain.
Yeah, this is, I don't know if that's comforting or not, that it's not just happening here.
No.
Hellman's Mayonnaise, after hearing about the story posted on social media, Cafeteria La Postas, we're sorry we weren't there. From now on, count on us, says Hellman's. Let us take care of the repairs, and we will make sure your sandwiches never run out of mayonnaise again. The alleged arsonist suffered burns. No one else was hurt. He was restrained by bystanders and arrested.
Yeah.
He was ordered into custody without bail. I'm pretty sure in jail, they don't have mayonnaise either. I'm speculating.
They don't have Hellman's.
That's for sure.
They have like, you know, just
it's a miracle
a packet. Ugh, a package that says mayonnaise and it's got one S and you're like, oh, disgusting. I won't lie, you know, and I want to know more about this guy. I feel like if your day goes so poorly or your life is not going well that this is your reaction to lack of mayonnaise, then...
You think it's deeper than that?
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like, you know, I hate to see his reaction to a massive inconvenience. Like, sorry, sir, we ran out of bread.
Don't even tell him that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I want to know more.
Well, we'll see if we can find a follow-up. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. By the way, congratulations, Max FM.
Yes.
They hit their goal over $5,000 yesterday. They requested a thon for Hope House.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody who took part and donated. It was a wonderful thing to see happen.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good weekend. We will see you on Monday.
Is news from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Wayne Cabot. The murder count has grown in an attack on Mormon worshipers as they prayed this morning in Grand Blanc, Michigan.
There is a couple additional bodies that we've discovered in the church. So that makes our total victim count up to 4.
Police Chief William Renier, the nightmare began when a man drove his truck, a four-door pickup with two American flags, through the church doors, sprayed those inside with bullets, then set the place on fire.
We were on scene within 30 seconds from that original 911 call. Within 8 minutes, that suspect was neutralized in the back parking lot of the church.
Police Chief William Renier says there were hundreds inside the church when this happened. Not much is known about the shooter, other than he's a 40-year-old Iraq war vet who came from a nearby town. This is ABC News.